Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC, and today is a very special show. It's being released early, and my returning guest is my best friend, Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. She works for Planned Parenthood. She went to the DNC. Oh my God, this conversation. It's so much fun. It's so optimistic. It's funny. It's two best friends who are political, talking about all the joy and happiness and everything wonderful. So I know you're going to enjoy it. But before you do, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Welcome back to the show, Steph. Yoo-hoo, woo-hoo. We're back together again. As Andrew Quotino said, that we are, he said it's so great to have apple pie and ice cream back together again. And then tell him what you said. What did you just say?
Can I say it?
You can totally say it. It's my fucking podcast.
Which one of us whores is the apple pie?
So Andrew's going to have to answer which one of us whores is the apple pie. Oh my God, that's going to be funny.
I swear, that is a term of endearment. Like, you know, it's like also, like, let's just take back the power of things, right?
Yes.
How long have we as women of a certain age taken that as like, oh, she's a whore. You know what? I do what I want.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, we're going to get into it because so much of what's happening politically in our world, it's like, how hard are you identifying with our future president?
Oh my God, I know. Wait, I have to go back just a minute because I don't know if you remember this, but I was literally the spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote. So
yeah, so you were taking back the power way back
in 2012.
Right.
Oh my God. It's so funny. This is so cool talking to you. I love having you on the show because it's like you're my I don't know, aside from being my bestie and everything, it's just like this feels so right.
It always does. I mean, how much fun have we had in our time together?
Yes.
And we're well over a decade at this point.
God, sister. I know. It's insane. And it's so funny because we met via social media and then you invited me and my mother to be on your, it was a radio show and a TV show?
It was a radio show and a TV show.
Yes.
It was radio on TV, the Lady Brain Show with my co-host Lauren Schiller. Mm-hmm. And we had you two on as the mother and daughter badass authors team. And we went deep with you guys. And like, oh, you were also on the same soap opera for how many years? And then we stayed in touch. Mm-hmm. Then I did a revamp of the show solo, had you back on when we were sure.
Sure.
Trump was gonna get smoked.
Yeah.
Sure. we're laughing at Mike Pence.
And we have to remind everybody that you had the brilliant idea of getting people to donate to Planned Parenthood and Mike Pence's name. And we worked together on this and we put up a meme and we sent it out. And then some fucking chick on Instagram just quickly said, oh, yeah, everybody should donate to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name. And she got all the credit.
And didn't give us a shout out.
No.
But now I work.
Yes.
For Planned Parenthood. And anytime if the door is cracked open a sliver, I tell people, I have this girlfriend and she has this huge social media following and I had this idea and here we go. And that's how it happened. It's legendary.
It is.
It's legendary.
There was so much money. Do you know how much was raised?
Pardon?
Do you know how much was raised from that?
Well, early on, I talked to somebody who sat on the PPFA board who said it was millions.
Holy shit. And look at how important we are.
how critical it is, yeah. Okay, to be able to lay the groundwork before we even knew mm-hmm. the devastation mm-hmm. that was to come, right?
Yeah.
And now I work for the largest Planned Parenthood affiliate. So Planned Parenthood, there's PPFA, which is the national organization that is, you know, President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson out and about everywhere telling folks across the country of the good work mm-hmm. that Planned Parenthood does. Then it's divided up into affiliates across the country, right? Ours is the largest. We are mid-California and northern Nevada. We have 34 health centers in 42 counties. We serve over 320,000 patient visits wow. a year in our region. And included in that number are people from 41 states across Jeez. The country since Roe fell. So we are providing life-saving health care to families. We will vaccinate your child mm-hmm. before he or she or they start the public school system. We will give you your COVID shot. We will provide you with gender affirming care at all 34 of our locations. We have prenatal care wow. in some of our, so we do family medicine.
Yeah.
We provide abortion care and birth control. We do all of the things. So we are, you know, we're very proud of the work we do. It's critical. It's essential. But that's the boots on the ground healthcare. So to anybody that's listening, if you want to impact healthcare that's provided in your region, you can give directly to a Planned Parenthood affiliate wherever mm-hmm. you are in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, we provide healthcare. We also have political sides to our organizations, which we call at the advocacy side, right? So we're, you know, we're taking people out to Reno, Nevada the last 3 weeks before the election. So the second, third, and fourth weekends of October, we're taking people to knock doors in Reno and talk to yeah. them about ballot measure number 6, which will enshrine abortion rights, birth control, get rid of the physician-only requirement, meaning nurse practitioners can mm-hmm. provide surgical abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're expanding care. I'm sorry I'm on a soapbox, but this is so freaking critically important. And we're going to get to this anyway, so I'm just getting to it right now, if you're cool with that, my sister. Okay. So we're going to go out there, and we're going to knock on your door, and you're going to answer the door, and we're going to be like, hi, I'm Stephanie, and this is Kimberly. And we're here on behalf of Planned Parenthood Advocates Marmonte to talk to you about ballot measure number 6. Are you aware of it? Yes. Well, here's what it does. So be sure to get out. And then, you know, when abortion's on the ballot, the Democrats turn mm-hmm. out and we change the fucking world.
Yes, we do. And I just want to remind everybody that if you can get abortion into your constitution, if Donald Trump won, it wouldn't matter because federal trumps state. So we need to get it in our state constitutions, but at the same time, we also have to get fucking Kamala in there.
That's right. And if you do the math, it's like, we're going to go out, we're going to talk to people about this ballot initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if somebody's in support of this, the idea is, and it computes to, oh, yeah, Kamala, Jackie mm-hmm. Rosen, mm-hmm. you know, Susie Lee, all mm-hmm. the, and hopefully Democratic and progressive
yeah.
Initiatives and candidates up and down the ballot. That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
But we're talking about, you know how it works. I mean, look at Kansas, look at Vermont, look at Michigan, look at, I'm blanking right now. There are so many states that have put this, Ohio.
Yes.
It's something that causes folks to turn out, regardless of whether the state is red or blue, because, you know, and this is going to be a women-led
hell yes it is,
obviously, but like, nobody's gonna tell us. I swear to God, Kimberly, I do fundraising, right, for uh-huh. our organization so that we can provide the health care. And when I have a story, may I tell a story?
Of course.
Okay, so I'm obviously don't name names, but this is one of the most beautiful experiences I've had in my career. You know, when people ask me, why do you have hope, Stephanie? Why do you have hope? And granted, the hope was a little harder to have before Kamala took the reins. I'm not going to lie.
I know.
But I know you and I were in it to win it. Biden was our guy.
Yes.
And until a realistic and path to victory type of candidate or alternative was provided, I was riding with Biden, you know, till, like, you know, I had black eyes and no teeth. Like, honestly, I was not.
Yeah, me too.
And then that Sunday, when it happened, how hard were we all on board? Because mm-hmm. that made sense to everybody. Not mm-hmm. only did it make sense, but it provided a certain level of newfound hope and something that I think all of us Gen X women could really identify with, yes. because we can all say there ain't nothing Kamala Harris has heard, seen, had slung at her, has been passed over for, has had to work twice as hard for. We understand that, but we also come from a generation where our parents told us, I think we were really the first generation where, which is the same generation as our next president, where our parents said, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yes, girl. Yes, yes, yes.
And, no, and don't let anybody ever tell you what your path is. You decide. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's for real. So that, I'm telling you what. Also, women, I had to stand up. I'm like walking around right now talking to you because I'm like fired the fuck up. Women are natural at bringing people together.
Yes.
We organize without even putting that name on it. This is what we do. We view the power structure as infinite. Sure, there's room for her, there's room for him, there's room for them. Let's do it. The opposite side views it as this finite amount of power that if the white men in power have to let, you know, a black woman sit at the table, they view that as they're ceding their power.
Right.
That's the wrong way to look at it,
yeah.
my brothers, because we are taking over. Anyway.
Over. Well, you know what? So, I just have to say this, though. In addition to what you're saying, this is a tweet from Maria Teresa Kumar. So Tom Ponye has been talking about how there are new people registering to vote. And so she says, can verify Voto Latino has surpassed 110,000 new registrations. 60% are women. 65% are under 25 in the battleground states. So woohoo!
That's right.
Yeah.
So not only are the tides turning, but the next generation is stepping up.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's sad, but yes.
Yes. I had a back to this little donor story, just because all people, you know, we have donors that give us $5 a month, right? Mm-hmm. We have donors that have us in their wills. We have donors that give to us at a very high level year after year after year. And we're tasked now with, because the need is increasing, mm-hmm. as I indicated with the 41 states, you know, sending their folks here, because they don't have care where they are. Mm-hmm. And because the banned states are putting so much pressure on the states adjacent to them that they can't get care in states where abortion is still available and legal. Because it's insanity, right? So here we are. I'm talking to this dude who he's been a longtime donor. And we're having this really, I was introducing myself to him and thanking him for his support. Mm-hmm. He and his wife were in their will. They've got, you know, they have means, right?
Right.
And this is really an important issue to them. And he told me, he said, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I believe that the government should not have a say in what, in his words, a woman does with her own body. Hmm. And I said, well, tell your friends, okay?
Yeah.
I love this. We had this beautiful exchange. He had already given. It was really a thank you call. Mm-hmm. We email each other back and forth, and he tells me in an email, because I wanted to thank him for just being so amazingly supportive, but also being so open-minded, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And then he writes back, he goes, I gotta tell you, I'm no longer a Republican.
Wow.
Because he couldn't go to the Democrat portion
right,
of the
right.
programming, but what he did say was, I'm more of an independent,
yeah.
And because under no circumstances, and he reiterates it, and I thank him, and I'm like, we have room for everybody here, like we love you, we need you, you're amazing. Okay, fast forward maybe 5 weeks from that initial conversation, that email exchange, I'm looking at our daily reports as we get. And I see his name come up, and it's like, dude's already given. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask him again because it didn't seem appropriate at the
right,
time.
Right, right,
right. He gave a gift on the anniversary of the fall of Roe that was, and hear me, almost 10 times the size
Whoa.
of his already sizable gift that you're. I immediately write to our director of DevOps and I go, is this a typo? And then I write to her, and then I write to her number two. I go, is this a typo? Wait a minute. Before I lose my entire shit, is this? Nope, it was real.
Wow.
On the fall of Roe. That's was amazing. No coincidence.
Right.
People have had enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? People have had enough. And that's where we are. And you know, the polls, yeah, I do pay attention. I'm sorry, because they're in my face. But I think, I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to mute. Hold on. Okay. I think we are going to see something. I'm having like Reagan Mondale Electoral College flashbacks right now.
Like, okay, wait. Are you aware of Christopher Boozy's map?
I mean, I haven't seen it lately, but what's he saying lately?
So basically,
he's a complete wizard. So
yeah,
like,
and
he
so
saying?
He's, I mean, he was just on the show on Thursday. So for all of you who just listened to him, whatever, this is reiterating. But he's calling Florida to flip. And what's so funny is that he's arguing with the Florida GOP guy in, his name is Evan Power. And, you know, Boozy, he's so fucking condescending to, and it's so funny to watch because he's saying that this guy, Evan Power, is panicking. Everybody in Florida, all the Republicans are panicking. Nikki Fried, who's the Democratic chair, you know, she's like, yeah, Florida's flippable. And so Boozy doesn't go on the polls. He goes on other things. And so he's absolutely 100% convinced that Florida's going to flip. So basically his is 349 electoral for Kamala right now, although he's got Texas in pink, which means it's not blue, but it's, you know, it's not as red. And then he threw in the other, I think it was like last Sunday, he threw in Iowa and Ohio are now toss-up states. And so one of the things that he said, and I'm with you here, because I mean, now he's saying 349. It could be more, you know, like for instance, Texas could flip. I doubt that it will, and he doubts that it will. But one of the things that he was talking about, specifically when we were talking about Colin Allred, who he does not believe is a good candidate running against Ted Cruz, and he gave a list, like one of, you know, the main reason is because he wasn't getting behind Biden, he's not getting behind Kamala, and he thinks that being a football player is going to take him all the way, which I'd say, if you're in Texas, just fucking vote for him, because anybody is better than
exactly.
Ted Cruz. But regardless, Boozy doesn't believe that that's going to succeed. But his caveat here, the big maybe, is when Trump is sentenced. Because no matter what he gets, whether it's home confinement or, you know, actual jail time, it's, you know, this man who you're just talking about, your donor story. Men like that, women like that, who are leaving the Republican Party or have already just been independent, who maybe like lean right, they're going to be mm-hmm. reminded of his 34 felonies, and he's going to be sentenced for them. And it's I don't know what the sentence is going to be, but this judge, that judges take into account behavior after the fact, and the way Trump has been behaving, specifically, you know, he has been doxing the judge's daughter. He says terrible things about the judge himself. And so it's like, I don't know, you know, I mean, he's no remorse, all that shit. So that's going to be taken into account when the guy sentences, and it's coming up. And then we're also going to have the debate. So I think, you know, I mean, I think it's possible. Barack Obama got in 2008, he got 365 electoral. And because of gerrymandering, because of voter suppression, because of the massive amount of cheating that we're going to see, I don't right. know if we're going to, I don't know that we can get to that Reagan map, but I think we can get to the Obama 2008 map. We don't need to, yeah. but we can,
I mean,
and it's possible.
I'm laughing, but so didn't Reagan win every state but Minnesota?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
It would be, but
I just pulled up the map. I'm living for it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an utter embarrassment.
Yes.
And that I'm really, really wanting more than anything.
I know.
This man needs to be embarrassed and shut down mm-hmm. and publicly shunned.
Yeah, and you know what? I've always been saying that we have to shun them. And what Tim Walz gave us, this perfect it was like when he called them weird, even though everybody else has been calling them weird, for some reason that moniker stuck, and it's bothering them so much because now they're calling us weird and they're putting TM, like trademark, next to the weird word as if they came up with it themselves. Oh my God, they're so fun, and they hate it. And even Trump has said, I hate when they laugh at me. So it's like the fact that we're pointing at him and laughing and calling JD a couch fucker, even though we know he hasn't fucked a couch, it doesn't matter. Fuck him. He's a couch fucker. And it's like we are shunning them. That this is the way we are shunning them. We're pointing and laughing, and that's the best way to do it. And also, I just want to say that, you know, back in 2016, I don't like saying this, but I do believe it's true. Donald Trump was a pop culture and political phenomenon, right? So he comes down that escalator, and he appealed to a certain portion of this country, which was big enough, millions of people. I still think they're the minority, and he did not win the election. He needed help from all his fucking, you know, Russia connected pals and, you know, Roger Stone and all those people. He needed help from Putin in order to get that electoral win, because the country did vote for Hillary, and we've got this stupid fucking electoral college. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that he was a pop culture and political phenomenon. Now we've got Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, because together they are fucking, like, they're this wall of joy and hope, and they are also pop culture and political phenomenons, but they don't need the help of Russia. They don't need cheating. They've got this genuine momentum in the country, and to the degree of, like, what you're saying, where your donor friend who is a Republican is leaving the party, you've got all these Reagan Republicans saying, I'm voting for Kamala Harris. It's fucking insane. And then, you know, it's this perfect storm, because you've got all these years of Biden's presidency, when he's been able to take down the prices of insulin, when he's been able to relieve college debt, and people felt that relief. I know there's a hold on it right now, but they felt it. Young people have felt it. And these young people, because, you know, you mentioned our generation was the first to hear that we can do anything. Well, this younger generation is the first to go to school and fear that they're going to be murdered with gun violence. And so, you know, you've got all of these young people who have a real, you know, I mean, they're looking at climate, they're looking at gun laws, they're looking at school debt, they're looking at medicine prices, all these things that are affecting them. And it's work, you know, I mean, traditionally, we've got the young people don't vote, but I think now they are literally investing in their future. And it's, and Kamala, which I'm always going to say this in my show, I love her first name. And I've heard people say we should refer to her as, you know, Vice President, or, and I agree, Vice President Kamala Harris is just a long thing to say. But Kamala is such a unique and beautiful name. And I mean, I saw somebody posting on social media saying it's kind of, that it's not showing her the respect, and that they always call women by their first names, but we do it depending on who it is, because we didn't call Joe by his first name because Joe is kind of common, but we call him Bernie, you know. We don't call him Sanders, we call him Bernie, and we call her a lot of times, we say Hillary. And then with fucking Bill Clinton, we would call him Bubba. And then with, you know, the other one, we called him W. So it's like, I think people just kind of find a name that they like. And so it's like with Kamala Harris, I think she's got such a unique and beautiful name. I love using it. So I'm going to use it. But I will always say that at the beginning of whatever I talk, I respect everything she's done, all of the, you know, her life's resume, senator, all of it. So, she's a vice president of the United States, but oh my God, she's so fucking badass. She's so fucking badass. She, but then she's like so beautiful, not just beautiful on the outside. It's that smile. It's like when she smiles, you know, there was those dark Brandon memes where, you know, he had those like lasers coming out of his eyes. Her lasers are like joy lasers coming out of her eyes.
Right. It's the big smile. It's that beautiful laugh.
Yes.
It's, can I say, I Kamala, being from my hometown of Oakland, when she ran or announced that she was running in, oh God, what year was it? 2019, I guess. She did a launch party at this famous nightclub called Joffrey's, which is coincidentally 3 doors down from my office in Oakland. And we went, you know, there were women that were working to try to rally a crowd. And so I went, my mother-in-law came, one of my girlfriends came. We kind of bum rushed the stage. They had stanchions around and she was doing selfies with everybody. And she was so relatable, mm-hmm. right? I was so pleased with this person who I had voted for already a couple of times, because I got to vote for her for AG and I got to vote for her for senator.
Yeah.
To see her just be that, you know, seemingly down to earth person, right? Well, of course, she dropped out of the race. Biden made her the VP, blah, blah, blah. She came to Oakland in June. It was June 5th. And one of my girlfriends who works with the AAPI effort with the White House lives like, you know, less than a mile from here. And so we showed up. I helped, you know, fundraise for it and get people in the room to support her. And we got to get our picture taken with her. And it was really, really hot. So I'm like the glistening beast, but I don't even care. I walk up with my husband and my daughter. My daughter's 16. And I, you know, I went to shake her hand. And first of all, this is just an added bonus. She's one of the most exquisitely beautiful people I've ever stood next to.
I know. She really is so beautiful.
I mean, it's kind of like she was unbelievable mm-hmm. to see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thanked her for all of the work that she's done for the reproductive freedom movement and told her how, you know, I'm with Planned Parenthood. It's so important to have her on our side mm-hmm. at this time. And she looked at me, thank you for the work you're doing. This mm-hmm. is so critically important. You know, it, you know, increases like all the things. Mm-hmm. And then she like, enough of you. Not really. She didn't do that. But the right. next person she was going to talk to was my daughter. And she said, I need you. You are a leader. And I need you now. I know, you know, this is for the future. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was like, whoa, I'm getting the chills. my daughter was like, oh my gosh, this woman sees me.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, people say that, I see you. Look, I don't care. Folks view that as an overused term. She sees my kid
right.
because if Trump wins, my daughter is deeply concerned about going to college where her rights don't exist, mm-hmm. right? Where people aren't thinking of the future. Like my kid would like to live mm-hmm. to 80 and have air to breathe
right.
and have a planet that isn't posing an existential threat to her. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing. Then we went out to the, like, everybody gathered on the lawn and she stepped up to the podium and no notes, no notes.
Wow.
She spoke to us and looked in our eyes. And this was well before Joe, you know, we had mm-hmm. a month and a half before Joe was bowing out mm-hmm. and she goes, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay. Now, I think she believed that in her heart because she's on the right side of the issues mm-hmm. and so are we, mm-hmm. but we believed her. And then she took random questions. These were not screened.
Yeah.
From folks in the audience. She is so ready. And we knew that in that moment. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. And all of our dreams are coming true.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's fucking amazing to watch what's happening. Oh, you know what though? I mean, we're talking about Kamala and we could get back to her, but you got to go to the DNC and I just kind of want you to talk about that experience because
oh,
it looked amazing.
Lord.
I'm sure that the feeling, I can't imagine what it was like to feel that.
Okay. So have you ever gone to a concert in a huge stadium
yeah.
where like everybody is just on the exact same level and we're all singing the songs
yes.
and the band is connecting with us mm-hmm. and you're looking at strangers and hugging them because like that joy just permeates every cell of your being
yeah.
and you're all together and all on the same page. That's what it was like on roids.
Wow.
Okay. So I have one of my very good friends is the executive director of the Idaho Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't know people who work as hard for democracy as Idahoans. Hmm. Idaho Democrats are getting the shit beat out of them every single day. Idaho is the most has the most restrictive ban. It's an all-out ban. There are mm-hmm. zero exceptions for abortion in that state. Not only that, but there are people that would qualify by you know, the standards that were set by Hitler and his people. Mm-hmm. They would qualify as like Nazis today.
Yeah.
Running for office. So I have this brilliant friend, shout out to Jared DeLoof, executive director of the Idaho Democratic Party, and his brilliant chair, a woman by the name of Lauren Necochea. She's a state representative. These folks in under 4 years time since Jared took the reins have a Democrat running in every single district across the state, from school board to Congress to governor, you name it. They're all in. And they have found there are people that just haven't been heard, right? Idaho used to be a blue state when Frank Church was the senator, and now it's one of the most brutally red states in the country. So I've been supporting Jared and his people for since he took that position, and they brought me in as I got to be on the floor with them.
Wow.
Every day but Tuesday when they were voting and they had to get all their folks in.
Yeah.
On that day, I got to sit with the sheet metal workers, national. I've got a friend who's big in their org, and we were on another planet, but still grounded. Mm-hmm. Like it was like the feeling was so high, and so you're in line, you're taking buses, you're waiting hours to get in, mm-hmm. and like. Everybody, you're hugging people that are from Delaware. You're taking selfies with the women who are delegates from Tennessee. We're on the buses at 12:30 at night, beat to absolute shit, and still high as a kite.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, oh, here, oh, I didn't get a Doug poster. Oh, I got one, boom. Here, you know, I mean, it was like, it was the best feeling walking around. Oh, there's Yamiche Alcindor. Okay, can I get a selfie with you, Yamiche? Thank you for being a stalwart supporter of actual unbiased journalism. You know, it was, I saw Keith Boykin in the hallways. I love that dude. I attacked him. I didn't care, because it was like, I'm here. And we're all on the same page. I mean, Mike Lindell was there. God, I didn't see him. I saw Michael Cohen. I grabbed him.
I know.
I ran into Danica Rome and Brian Karam, and I was like, "You guys!"
I know. And then you sent me that. You sent me the.
I sent
thing.
You that picture. I was sending you the pictures the whole way through.
Yeah.
It was the most exhilarating, but like the hope, because we knew not only do we throw a convention, and I'm
no
saying
shit.
We had nothing to do with it, but Democrats, like, I'm sorry, roll call?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know. I know that
Are
was
you
I was dancing
me?
I was literally dancing in my living room and like crying tears of joy because it was so exciting and amazing. Oh my God. But you know, I have to say though, I said this before on the show and I'm going to say it again. I'm taking a little bit of maybe credit for it, because I don't know if you remember, but I think it was like in 2022, my friend Lorraine, I had an idea, and then Lorraine Devon Wilkie and I kind of paired together to put this out into the world that like somebody needs to some huge Democrat who has not leader in the party, but like, you know, Mark Cuban or somebody who's like really
right.
wealthy needs to kind of do what we did back in the 80s with like the Live Aid, where we could educate people and have a you know, groups, whether it's,
yes.
you know, musical groups and actors all come together, talk about white supremacy. And of course, nobody did it. But you know who did it? Jamie Harrison.
Jamie Harrison.
Fucking, you know, putting
that
on that
guy.
DNC. Oh my God. And you know, he was on my podcast, and I never mentioned it to him, but we follow each other. So I'm just thinking, you know, maybe he saw my tweet, and whether or not he thought about it, you know, consciously, there was like a little seed. Regardless, I don't need credit, but I'm just saying, I came up with this idea that we needed something like it, and then it happened. It just fucking happened.
Yeah.
And it was
yeah.
the DNC of all things. And it was like, oh my God, it was so entertaining. And it was, and then one of the best parts about it was driving Donald Trump fucking crazy. He was so
right.
angry.
I love the split screens that were on
yes.
social media with like the lady at the
yes,
the
roll call, yes.
And then us.
Yeah.
You know?
With fucking Prince.
Lil Jon. Yeah. I watched that clip. I got the Wi-Fi on the way home from Chicago, and I rewatched Roll Call, and then I watched Kamala Harris and the Judiciary Committee ruining those men's lives while they were being questioned. I mean, that woman with Cory Booker, like, in the background. Like, the joy, I didn't sleep a wink.
Yeah.
I was exhausted. We were beat. But we were so exhilarated because when there's this brilliant woman who's a law professor at UC Berkeley, her name is Dr. Kiara Bridges. And she kind of did a smackdown on Josh Hawley when he was asking her about gender and pregnancy. And she was like, dude, this is bigoted, right?
Yeah.
If you can't see that people who don't identify as women can still be pregnant, like, dude, get with the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was asking her to define a woman.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, she's right here and she's one of our partners. She shows up and she did a big advocacy event for us when we were trying to raise money for this election cycle to get behind pro freedom of choice candidates, right? Repro freedom and the whole deal. So she said, people go, what gives you hope? Because she's one of the things that she said, and I'm gonna paraphrase, but there were certain things that stuck out and I'm gonna get right. She goes, well, the Republican platform is pure trash. Okay. Let's get that out of the way, right? But what gives me hope is knowing that we are on the right side of the issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at the end of the day, now she didn't say that, but I'm adding that. Like, we're gonna vote our values. Mm-hmm. Right? Because under no circumstances, to quote my former Republican, now independent donor, under no circumstances should the government mm-hmm. have anything to say about what a woman or a person does with their body when it comes to reproductive freedom and choice.
Yeah, because they leave men alone. Men, they leave them alone completely.
Well, I am so infused with hope, that hope. We are on the right side of the issues, but seeing people in that room with our, just our convictions mm-hmm. and our passion,
mm-hmm.
because we are talking to people. I did there's this famous, the Chicago River, you can get on a boat, you can do an architectural cruise, and you see all of the beautiful different styles of buildings. And we're on with, okay, Dina Titus, the badass congresswoman from Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
who said, I'm proud to be a childless cat lady. She was on the boat with us. But then there were also just straight up tourists. There were these two French guys that came up and I had these buttons that, you know, one was like freedom and it was Kamala. We were all wearing our credentials because we're dorks, even though we were just out in the world. And they were like, excuse me, where do you get these buttons? You give us so much hope. We are so, like, the world is on the right side of the issues with us. They need us. Like, this is pervasive. This isn't just America. Yes, we're drinking this Kool-Aid, but like, put it in a fire hose and aim it straight at my face. This is a drug I never want to be unaddicted to.
Yeah.
If this means future hope, progress, healthcare for all,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting the climate crisis at the top of the list of things we need to address, making sure that people have the potential to take care of their families, to go for that promotion because they have the choice not to have a third child they can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, give it to me. Housing, like, let's fight the fentanyl crisis in a real meaningful way. Let's get people off the streets and into programs where we just don't throw them into rehab or jail and we're there for them on the other side. Like, all of this is who we are.
Yeah.
This is what we believe in. And there was a guy who was, I'm going to guess, late 60s maybe. He's got on a muscle shirt and jorts and a ball cap, no political, like, I don't know. I'm thinking, is this guy, you know, is he on our side? He stopped us, me and my girlfriend, Wendy. We got our credentials. We're like, weep, 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 you know, coming off the boat like a pack of fools. And he comes up to us and he goes, I've never been so encouraged about a candidate. Like, I feel so hopeful.
Yeah.
And he, like, he's on our side. This is just a white dude with a muscle shirt and jorts. You don't know what you're going to get with that. I mean, right. You can't judge
exactly.
A book.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. Stop judging books by their covers,
yes.
People.
Yeah.
We're human beings who want to survive, who want to see a future for our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's go. Let's go.
I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, I find it to be, you know, first we saw the people in Great Britain voting out the right wingers. And then we saw it again, and the polls were wrong, by the way. And then we saw it again in France, and the polls were wrong. And then it happened here. And it's just, it's fascinating to me how everything came together in that fucking magical, it was like a magical day. It was awful. It was awful. And then it turned into some, it didn't take very long. I know it was 27 minutes between the announcement that he was dropping out and the endorsement of Harris. And in that 27 minutes, I was not very, not happy. I was terrified, you know, it was like, oh my God, because what's going to happen now? Is there going to, you know, is there going to be this fight with trying to replace her with a white man, which is not going to fucking go over well. And, you know, and she's the only one who was going to get that money and infrastructure. So, and that's so fucking key and important. But the crazy thing is, I mean, it was like, as soon as Biden, who I believe is a savvy fucking genius, you know, I mean, a good man and a savvy genius still to this day, savvy, savvy, fucking savvy, regardless of the fact that he's old and it shows, he chose to do that. And I, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of talk about how this went down in private. And I'm not going to get into it too much because I feel like we're a united party and I want to stay united. But and I do believe it was the best choice for him to step down, even though, and the reason, you know, obviously, I think the reason we were all afraid of it was because we didn't want to see a brokered convention like we saw in 1968.
Oh, that was making me nuts.
Yeah, and then we also didn't want to see somebody say, well, it has to be Gavin Newsom, and then just push Kamala aside, or whoever white man, you know, Pete Buttigieg, or whoever it was going to be. And it's like, you know, I mean, I would have been fucking happy to see either one of those people running for president, but not in the case where they're pushing the black woman aside, who's the vice president. And so, you know,
who's been kicking ass for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And who no one wants to give credit to, who everybody questions her credentials. Yes. Hello. This is a story that you and I and Kamala and all women have been hearing since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. No more.
No. And she, and then on top of it,
I had to pile on.
But it's
God,
like,
I love talking to you.
I know. It's so, I know you really got to be more excited about things, Stephanie, though. I got to say, you're just really low energy today.
Holy Christ.
But it's like watching her, though.
I'm still in a nightgown. P.S. Get a visual of that, folks and friends. I'm still in a nightgown on my second cup of 12 ounces of coffee. Woo!
Let's talk about that fucking Dana Bash. Did you watch the Dana Bash interview?
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, my God, I was so fucking angry. And I think, you know, I mean, Simon Rosenberg, which, you know, I'm just going to take 1 second to tweet my own horn a little bit now, because I started interviewing Simon on my podcast before people started becoming, I mean, he already had a resume and everything, but I think, like, he was kind of, nobody had heard of him, and then all of a sudden I started seeing him. I'm not saying nobody had heard of him, but, like, I had never heard of him. And obviously he's popping up, and it was before the 2022 elections. And so I was looking, and he's like, no, there's not going to be a red wave, and here's why. And then he's with Tom Bonier, and they're both, you know. And so I have Simon on, and it's like, now Tom Bonier and Simon are all over the fucking place. I mean,
all
Simon
over.
Yeah, Simon has been interviewed by Lawrence O'Donnell numerous times.
I saw him on Lawrence the other night, and he was brilliant.
He's always brilliant. And then, you know, I know he and Tom are like the pollster duo or whatever. And, you know, I never had Tom on, but I was telling people, you know, and then Boozy. It's like and, you know, I mean, I know people like Allison Gill from Mueller, She Wrote, who was also my employer. You know, I mean, she's been getting it right. She always took on that. She'd be on my show and we'd have an optimistic kind of idea about what was going to happen with Democrats. But specifically, I'm just tooting my own horn with Simon, because I have seen where I remember we had fucking Molly Jong Fast on before she became this huge fucking name. So I don't know. It's like, I'm not a kingmaker, but I have an eye, so there you go. But
you absolutely do, because you're on the right side of the issues, my friend.
Yes, I am.
And you associate with and identify people that are like-minded.
Yeah, and I mean, Simon was giving me hope, and it was like, you know, I the one thing that drives me nuts, and it's not so much happening now because people are filled with hope and joy, is, you know, the Democrats can be such fucking Eeyores, and we were so used to getting pummeled by Donald Trump that people just started making the natural assumption that this is what's happening, and we're losing, and yeah, right, I'll believe it when I see it. And it's like, you know, we have to take on a different attitude, because our attitude is, I mean, I'm all into like intentional manifestation and all of that stuff. And there's you could get all woo woo about it, but you could also be very logical about it. And the logic is, you know, I mean, it's not that you have to, how can I say this? It's not like you have to get, because people say, well, I don't want to get my hopes up and then be dashed. Well, why are you spending your entire time being dashed? You're basically the choices that we make because of our beliefs, our hopes, our dreams and all that. It extends out into our physical reality. And if we have a negative kind of attitude, we're not doing ourselves any favors. It doesn't mean we have to say, oh my God, you know, don't ever get happy. Don't ever get complacent. Always assume when, you know, we're playing this game of politics that we have to just look at it like she's 10 points down, all gas, no brakes. All that shit has to be said. But oh my God, we can still be excited. And we are right now. We are excited. Nobody was excited, I think, when Joe Biden was president, because number one, people did not follow his actual accomplishments, which were vast and amazing. And in my opinion, he is the best president of my lifetime. But
yes,
you know, I mean, he's so good. People don't know about it. They just don't know about it. And that's on them. But it's like, that's why she's like this pop culture phenomenon, because everyone's paying attention now and everyone's feeling hopeful. And, you know, it's like cautiously optimistic. That's where we need to be. And I think we obviously were there. And I do believe that we're going to see, I think there's a big chance for a blue tsunami. I think that it really depends. I have to drive this home every time we talk about it, because it's got to be all the way. I mean, you ran for city council, so you know the importance of this. We have to be voting blue everywhere, not just at the top of the ticket, not just at, you know, the federal set, you know, the Senate and the House. We have to
You got
to
get in on school board races.
School
you need
boards, everything.
And
state houses.
Your municipalities, all of it.
Yeah,
every
and
bit
state
of it.
Houses.
Educate yourself. Take your ballot. Look it all up. Spend that time.
Yes.
Because we're here in part due to the fact that, you know, people sit it out, or they just go, you know, I'm going to just vote for the things I know.
Yeah.
It's so important. My son, who is voting in November, he's 20. This is the first presidential election he gets to vote in. He's so excited. But we're going to have a sit down, and we're going over his ballot.
Yeah.
Like every single line. And his roommate is from Boston, and I love her, and shout out to Jessen Tatum. And I said, Tatum, you're voting for Kamala Harris for president, right? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yes, I said, can I be the obnoxious person who's gonna say, I want you to, do you have a council member that you get to vote for this time around? Do you have somebody on school board in your district at home who you get to vote for this? I don't know. And I said, get your ballot and let's get on a Zoom, and we will research it together and you can make informed decisions, because that's really critically important, because those people that you're voting into school board might be running for Senate. At some point, right?
Yeah.
And they make a difference in your hometown.
Yes.
And so all of, and I just, maybe I'm preaching to the choir. I know I am with you, but I just think, I didn't know that stuff.
Me neither. I didn't
in my
either.
First presidential election.
No, I didn't. You know, I said that I wrote American Woman, The Pole Dance, Women in Voting. And one of the things in that book was a suggestion. And of course, it was just one suggestion. There's all kinds of things, but it was like college students could get those. Now, granted, if you're in college, you know, maybe you've got somebody from Idaho and somebody from California. So each of their ballots would be different. But if you get a group of young people together who are all in the same state, you could have like seven or eight of you guys. And then, you know, you pick three three things to look up, and then
and you research it.
You research it, and then I talk about it together. I mean, there's just you could do it in a fun way where you could. I mean, because I mean, I do it now every time I get my sample ballot. I go and I look everybody up, and it's time consuming, but it's not that bad. I mean, it's maybe an hour and a half, but it you take the time. So if you don't want to dedicate an hour and a half to doing that, then just do one or two in a session and then leave it and come back to it the next day. Do one or two until you've got everything finished and you know who you're going to vote for and you're comfortable with it. Because I'm telling you, the feeling, you know, there was this woman, this always tripped me out, but she contacted me because I had put out the book, The Virgin Diaries, which is a collection of first time sex stories. And she told me that it changed her life because she had been a prostitute and basically kind of forced into prostitution by someone in her family. And she, at a very young age, and the sex that she had was always that kind of sex. And when she read The Virgin Diaries, she says, I didn't realize that there was another way to experience it. And because of that, she completely changed her life around. And then she read American Woman. And then she messaged me and said, this was the first time, I think this was like in 20, I don't know if it was 2012 or 2014. No, it must've been 2014 because that's when American Woman came out. She said, you know, this was the first time I've ever really been prepared and gone through my sample ballot and studied it and made and researched it. And the thing is it's like this, it seems a little overwhelming initially, but like, if you just, like I said, if you tackle it a little bit of the time, by the time you're done, you feel so empowered. It's a really good feeling. It's like doing an essay for school where you're like, oh my God, what am I? But then you just sit down and you do the work. It doesn't take that long. And then you're finding shit out about people that, you know, are going to have a say in your life. And then it makes you feel empowered. So I just, you know, I mean, it's so important that we do that. I want to say that every single time, because I think a lot of people skip over that and they just don't know. I don't know what judge to vote for. You got to look up their record. You just got to, you know, I mean, sometimes you're voting for judges. Sometimes it's school boards, city councils, all those, you know, state level kind of, you know, and then state houses and all of that. And, you know, David Pepper is always going on and on and on about how important, because there are states right now that because federally there is no abortion law, right? There's no Roe was taken away, so it is literally left up to the states. And so if you have in the state houses, that's where they're voting on their state constitutions. So if you're in a state right now that has, you know, abortion that's available to you, it's because the people in the state houses voted that. You have to vote for them. So it's so important.
And in the cases where abortion is on the ballot to be enshrined in state in state constitutions, you have to take that to the voters. You have to gather signatures. That is the most you know, grassroots organizing you know, kind of effort in all of these places. In Nevada, they got 100,000 more votes, signatures than they needed. Like it is overwhelmingly, I'm sure, overwhelmingly the, you know, what people want. I'm sure you've looked at, you know, Nevada is one of those perfect states where there are a lot of independent voters there, and they do not want government involvement. Okay. They also don't want government involvement in their guns, but they, you know, they have, you know, there are ways that you go to people and you appeal on a common sense level.
Yeah.
Right. I am back to your cautious optimism. I am not even cautious anymore because I'm on the ground with one of the, some would say the most important issue right now with, you know, reproductive freedom. And I think I quote my mom's best friend she and my mom, you know, like they were in the streets, right? Yeah. When these rights were coming to fruition back in the day. And they say things like, give me my right to vote and bodily autonomy, and literally everything else flows from that, right? So we're going to have to make a real effort to get out there, because there are places like Texas where they're purging voter rolls, right? Because a signature on some, I can't even think of like the bullshit reasons they're coming up with, but what it is, it's racism and it's making, you know, they're this affects people of color in most cases, right? They're not purging voter rolls in Republican worlds.
No.
They're getting rid of liberal and progressive voters, and those people, they're making it inaccessible. They're not providing water. They're making you stand in line for hours upon hours upon hours to try to get your vote out. Mm-hmm. But nothing's going to stop us this time.
No. No, as I say, back in 2008, man, I had a fucking bad back and it was raining and I was in California and I'm like, I'm still fucking going and I'm going to vote for Obama and I don't give a shit how long I have to stand there in the rain and I don't give a shit if my back hurts. I had my cane and I fucking stood there. And I think people, you know, I mean, I knew it was going to go for him anyway, but I didn't care. It was like, I need to do this. And I think, right. I mean, I really think we're going to see that. You know, I mean, I think... I'm so excited because we're coming up on the debate now, and that's going to be, it's going to be interesting because she's got the, she saw that debate with Hillary where he was stalking her, and I doubt he's going to try to stalk her in this. I think that he understands not to do that. But
does he?
I think, well, I don't know. He's his fucking addled brain. Who knows? But he's certainly not at the same mental capacity he was at in 2016. He is aside from, you know, years and years and years of all the drugs that he's taking since then, you can literally see the mental decline, but he's got the fear because he's running to be president. I mean, he's running to stay out of jail, and she's basically, I mean, she's running to save democracy, but she's the fucking prosecutor. She's the prosecutor running against the rapist felon. And so, yes. And he knows that. And he fucking vote. He donated to her. It's so funny. Oh my God, he donated to her. So you know he's terrified. And I think that we've got this. I don't know. Is the debate on the 10th?
Yeah, it's on the 10th.
Okay. And I don't remember what day we're gonna see the sentencing. But it's early. Maybe the 7th. I can't or after that. I don't remember the date. But it's gonna come this month. And. You know, I mean, I had Fred Pogue on a while back, and he thought that the judge would wait until after the election. But I don't know that that's going to happen. So we'll see. But regardless, I think that, you know, I don't know if we're going to get an October surprise. And for those of you, we said it on the show Thursday, but Christopher Boozy is going to come out with one more electoral map in October. And that's going to be it. That'll be his last prediction. But... which, of course, I can't fucking wait because you just never know. You know, you never know what's going to happen. This is a crazy election cycle. And they're trying so hard. They're trying so hard to just, I mean, they're fucking attacking Tim Walz because there was a picture one day when he was at a dog park and, you know, he was hugging somebody else's dog. His dog was at the dog park with him. But he had a picture hugging someone else's dog and had written about how much fun he had with his own dog. And now Republicans are like, that's not his dog. He doesn't even know his dog is.
Because they got nothing.
Nothing.
They got nothing, okay? They've got nothing to say. I mean, we didn't even devote any time to J.D. Vance, which is probably better. But they have nothing.
No.
Okay? Except for hate. What mm-hmm. We have hope, they have hate. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
And we're just, you know, we're really lucky because number one, Donald Trump is not a very, he's really good at knowing how to stay relevant. He's really good at knowing, I mean, we have been talking about Donald Trump or just aware of him since our youth. He's always stayed in the conversation. He has figured out how to do that. And so he's savvy in that way. But he's not a smart man, and he's not savvy politically. He's savvy when it comes to staying in the conversation, and that's it. And then the rest of it, these Republicans don't know what they're doing. And I'm just so grateful because it's like stupid fucking Nazis. I'm so grateful because they don't know what they're doing. And we've got our side who know. I mean, Jamie Harrison is so badass. Oh my God.
So badass.
Oh my God. He's amazing. And watching, I mean, I just got to say, I was going back to that day when Joe Biden dropped out and watching the, you know, alignment of our own party and watching just everybody, the leadership, the voters, everybody supporting her and endorsing her and the amount of money that they've raised. I mean, they're going to spend $370 million on ads. Because we've given so much money and we keep giving money and she keeps getting more and more. And I mean, keep it going, man, because it's like the money is needed. Money's doesn't necessarily win an election, but it helps and it's going to help her. And I mean, I do genuinely, like you, I think we're going to see a huge, massive blue wave, but we have to act as if we're 10 points behind.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. With, you know, we're fighting till the very end, mm-hmm. until we can't fight no more. It has to be that way.
Yeah.
Because we can never take anything for granted
never.
Again.
No.
I mean, I can go in 2 seconds flat right back to exactly how I felt on election night in 2016.
Oh my God, I know.
And there's trauma uh-huh. associated with that. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what we got. Punched in the face. My daughter slept in. I had to hold her. She slept with me and cried herself to sleep that night. Mm-hmm. Like she was eight.
Yeah. My mother was, I remember my mom, I went over to her house and she was so down and she's like, this country has nothing for me. You know, it's like, I'm invisible. I'm nothing. And, you know, I mean, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. And now the prospect of him, I mean, with the Project 2025, which is already happening, as Joy Reid has been pointing out, it's already happening in some red states. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like, oh, it might happen. It's already happening. But what he would do to this country now, after having already been there once and recognizing, you know, he wouldn't. Donald Trump isn't the person who'd be doing anything. It would be all the people, his handlers around him and advisors who are going to be the worst. I mean, it's the Roger Stones and the Peter Thiels and, you know, the Harlan Crows, and all these people are going to have a say in how our lives are. And we cannot do that. We just cannot do it. And that'll happen this time. Everything that held up the last time would fall apart this time. So, but I do think, like, you know, this phenomenon that we're experiencing, I believe it's genuinely bigger than Kamala and Tim. I believe that it is kind of a manifestation of our collective, because I said, you know, did we manifest the political version of Ted Lasso? I mean, if you look at the two of them, I mean, it's Coach Walls and then she's like Rebecca, you know, I mean, she's like this powerful woman. And it's like, and we watched that show and we were so hungry for that feeling. And I swear to God, I think as a collective, we manifested this moment because we didn't really realize it, but we started, like I said, with Britain and then, you know, with France, we were seeing what happened over there. And then this moment, Joe Biden gave us this moment. I don't like how it happened. I will never like how it happened. It will piss me off until the fucking day I die. I wish it would have stayed private, but it is what it is. It's over now. And to see what he did, his selfless, unbelievable. I mean, and not only is he selfless, he still has that savvy to say, you know what, regardless. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to get into the how, but whatever was going on with that strategy to get him out, I don't believe it included, okay, immediately name Kamala. I think that was all Joe Biden. And I think that he has this political savvy that only one can have from being in government as long as he's been in. And he he's so compassionate and he cares so much. And this was like the best fucking decision. And now we're all just so, I mean, there's such a combination of feelings because there's still fear. We don't know. I'm positive she's going to win. I just, you know, I don't know how effective the cheaters are going to be. I think we've got Mark Elias on our side constantly fighting for democracy and winning. And I think,
oh God, he's so amazing.
He's amazing. And the Democratic Party is doing what they need to do. So Christopher Boozy said he feels pretty confident that even though they're going, of course they're going to cheat and they're going to not want to certify and everything, but you know, he's pretty clear that we're going to be okay. And then the last thing I'm just going to say is that we need to have such a big win that it won't matter if Florida wins by a really slim margin and they take it all the way up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, okay, Donald Trump wins it. We need to be able to afford to lose Florida. We need to have 270 electoral votes that don't include Florida. You know what I mean? So we need to have too big to rig. It's just got to be too big to rig. We cannot count because they're going to do everything they can. And they've learned from the mistakes they made in 2020. So they're going to, you know, definitely pull out all the stops in cheating. Because I think this is the last time they're going to have, I mean, we're never going to see Trump running for president again. There's just, it's just not going to happen. So, right. You know, we don't know who it will be. Maybe it's going to be Nikki Haley next time, which would be better than Trump. She's better than Trump though, because I think she would absolutely recognize, she would go for a peaceful transfer of power. I don't think she would try to be a dictator. So, I mean, nobody likes a Republican, but you know, that's the bottom line. The party will have to kind of realign. They're going to have to get into the, you know, 21st century and recognize that these fascist ideas are not popular.
Right. Well, okay. And I know we're like, we're an hour and 10.
I know. We got to go.
I'm living for it. But I saw Adam Kinzinger on the floor before the convention started. It was the second night. No, it was the third night. The night we all wore pink for gay rights. It was great. I spoke to him and I thanked him, you know, and some people like, I'm sorry, we have room for former Republicans who believe in us and our values and our value system and our candidates. Like, so I you know, fight me. Anyway, I saw him and I thanked him for being the first to go out there and to go against Trump and MAGA and the whole thing. And I said, do you ever see yourself running again? And he goes, yeah, as a Democrat, the Republican Party is dead.
Wow. Interesting.
As a Democrat came out of his mouth.
Wow. Wow.
And then I talked to his gorgeous, amazing Latino wife. And I was like, I welcome you and your people. All of you, we have room for you.
Yes. And that, his speech was great.
It was pretty spectacular. Yeah. That was a moment, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I got a selfie.
Of course. And I'll just say this too. You know, Adam Kinzinger reminds me of like, what's the guy who played the president in, the movie about Independence Day. Who was the guy who
played Bill Pullman?
Yes. So Adam Kinzinger looks like he'd be like Bill Pullman's son or brother. Maybe son. He kind of has that look to me. He reminds me of a guy who would be in an 80s movie. Like a hero of an 80s movie or something. I don't know.
That works for me.
I've always seen it. And you know, and this is literally the last thing. Okay, so one night I was at the Derby, which was it's no longer there, and it's not the Brown Derby. This was a Derby in Los Angeles, California. It was in Los Feliz. And so I used to go there all the time, and it was featured in the movie Swingers. But anyway.
Yes.
So I was there, and I was sitting, and I was at the bar, and I was talking to this English dude. We were like kind of flirting and everything. And Bill Pullman was across the way, and he was totally staring at me. And the British guy was like, hey, look. Isn't that Bill Pullman? And I say, he's like, he's totally staring at you. And so whatever, we're talking. Bill makes his, this is the weirdest story. He makes his way over to me and he's like, so I'm facing the bar and he's behind me and he stands and he literally puts his back against my back and just starts rubbing all around. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't acknowledge him. And I was talking to this other guy. And the British guy's looking at Bill Pullman like, what the fuck is he doing? And I'm like, I don't know. So I just thought that was funny. I guess that's how he wanted to get my attention. But I never acknowledged him. Isn't that weird? That's like my weird Bill Pullman story.
I mean, don't get me going down a path with, you know, where, okay, Bill, you did that. And don't ever do that again. Okay.
That was so weird. It was so fucking weird. But I still love him as an actor. I love him.
Sure, I guess.
But it was a weird moment. He didn't do anything. Like I've always told my Vince Vaughn story at the Derby where he was a complete asshole to me. That's different. But Bill wasn't an asshole to me. He was just odd. It was just so odd. But
that's
anyway.
That's just weird. But that's just that. Oh, damn it. Come on. Can you imagine?
Yes, because I was there.
I'm going to rub up on you. Because I'm a man.
It wasn't even like subtle. It was he put his entire back on my back and was kind of like moving around. It was weird. That's never happened to me before in any instance. I've never seen anybody do that to anybody else. It's so weird. So I don't know.
I think Bill
is a strange dude, but I still enjoy his performances in movies. So it never stopped me from watching his films, but I just have a funny Bill Pullman story. So
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we should do a show on just the funny stories.
Totally. Oh my God. One day we will.
We'd have to do one show a week.
Yes.
For an hour. Give me a break.
All right. I'm going to let you go now. So I just, you know, if you're even still listening, I should have said this at the top of the show, but I think I'll say it in the intro, if I remember, because I'm not doing the intro right now, but it's Sunday. So we're recording this on Sunday. And it's Labor Day weekend, so I don't know if I'm putting it out on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know, but it'll go out when it's out, because, and we didn't talk about anything that's, you know, is pressing. So this could, you know, I don't know when this is going to go out, but please, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Whenever you're listening.
Yes. The only thing that's pressing is educate yourself on everything that's on your ballot. Show up, encourage people to vote, encourage conversations and start conversations with people about their voting plans, right?
Yes.
And let's win this motherfucker.
Okay, and then just before you go, what is you're pretty much only on Threads now, or you're on Spoutable? Do you go on Spoutable?
I'm on Spoutable. Okay. At Steph DW on Threads. Stephanie Dominguez Walton. I did the long thing. Or maybe it's Steph Dominguez Walton. What's my handle on Threads? I live for Threads. What's wrong with me? Yeah, it's Steph Dominguez Walton.
Okay.
At Threads.
All right.
We're gonna win this thing, but we gotta work hard. Can't take our foot off the pedal. Let's
yes.
go.
100%. All right, Steph. You know I just love you so much, and I'm sure we'll
I love
talk
you
soon.
So much. Thank you for devoting your life to this.
And thank you too. Thank you too. You're welcome, and thank you.
That's right.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye, honey.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.